welcome to another episode of Brick House, breaking down the 2015-2016 NBA season preview. I'm Bob Johnson, here with Matt Baker.
Hey.
We're on location today, the birthplace of Jay-Z, to break down the Brooklyn Nets. Number 22nd best team in the league is our prediction for the upcoming season, or ninth worst, depending on how you want to look at it.
Okay.
The Nets, Matt, they're not in for a great season. There was a lot of hoopla, a lot of hype going into new ownership of the Nets with Jay-Z and Mikhail Prokhorov 5 years ago.
Of course, they were all over the place. How could you not get excited for a mysterious Russian and one of the biggest rap stars of all time?
Russian Mark Cuban, he was compared to a bunch. Yeah. The Nets this year, they remind me of season two of True Detective, Matt.
Why is that, Bob?
I just finished watching it, and the short answer is they're a goddamn mess.
Wow.
Yeah. They came with so much promise and shiny new packaging. The owner originally teamed with a super talented Jay-Z. I would say he's like the McConaughey in this reference. And they got a brand new stadium. The stadium, we'll call that HBO.
Okay.
They signed a young coach, Jason Kidd. It was his first year, and he really exceeded what anybody expected from him. We'll call him Cary Fukunaga, the director from the first episode of True Detective.
Right.
But in the end, this second go-round just ended up with a cliche mix of basketball players. On paper, they should be decent, but when put together, they were not. I wish I could extend the metaphor a little further and tell you who's attacking sixth graders or getting wet from a variety of bad habits, but all I know is that when the dust cleared, there's a super rich Russian still lurking in the background waiting to cash in the finale.
Previously on the Brooklyn Nets.
Well, so the past 3 years they have been in the playoffs, including two seasons ago they lost to Miami in the conference semifinals.
Oh, I forget about that.
Yeah, so last year they were under 500, 38-44. But other than that, they haven't been terrible. They won 49 games in 2012-2013. Now, one other thing they did was essentially trade a lot of things to the Boston Celtics for Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and host of other things.
Jason Terry
for what essentially came out to be most of the future of the Nets draft.
what it actually was the single highest season payroll in NBA history, with Darren Williams, Brooke Lopez, Paul Pierce, Garnett, Joe Johnson, just pretty much every overpriced contract in the league. They wanted it.
Yeah, so they traded a 2014 first round pick, a 2016 first rounder, a 2018 first rounder, the rights to swap first rounders in 2017, a bunch of players. I mean, they really went for it. I think that is a "we're going for it" trade.
They were going for it from the beginning.
Yeah,
the owner wanted to win.
And that's the team that lost in the conference semifinal. What happened with that after is Pierce left to go to Washington. Garnett was there for a half a season, then got traded back to Minnesota. Jason Terry ended up in Houston, right? He's ended up on a few places.
Yeah, he bounced around a little bit.
Yeah, so basically they went for it, didn't get it, and then all the pieces they went for it with left, leaving them with a bad future, and
it all fell apart, just like True Detective.
Yeah, it literally all fell apart.
They just gave Darren Williams, who was their biggest free agent splash 5 years ago, they just gave him $26 million to go away.
Yeah. So if you're going to go for it, you have to commit to going for it, which they did initially. And then it just literally all blew up.
Well, just a couple years ago, they did hire Jason Kidd. He was the first time coach. Yeah, and after the season, he tried to organize a coup to get Billy King fired, the general manager of the Nets.
Yeah.
That didn't work out. In fact, ended up in Kidd getting fired, or, you know, they allowed him to go to the Milwaukee Bucks. But the owner basically said, you know, I don't care if the door hits you on the ass on the way out. without the option to be the GM and stop Billy King from trading every future asset for a 90-year-old man, Jason Kidd saw the writing on the wall and saw he had a much, much more promising future in Milwaukee. Who's that? Well, I got to tell you, Matt, this owner segment is one of the ones I was most excited about for the whole NBA preview. Mikhail Prokhorov is basically a Bond villain.
He came in on fire.
And the details about him are stranger than fiction. So let me just get into it quick so I can hopefully get most of the best stuff in here. For starters, he's the tallest owner in the NBA.
Oh, man.
6 foot eight. He was the first.
Oh, he's that tall?
Foot eight. First non-North American owner, though Vivek Ranadive now joins him there. He's an avid free ride, freestyle jet skier.
Okay.
Who told 60 Minutes that his most impressive trick on a stand-up jet ski is a backflip. There are multiple YouTube compilations of Prokhorov doing jet ski tricks in the ocean.
Really?
Which is pretty great.
Oh, man.
You got to be pretty rich Russian to even get in the ocean.
I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
You're pretty rich Russian to get in the ocean.
You got to be able to travel pretty far to stick a toe in, you know what I mean? But how Prokhorov made his money is probably the most Russian thing about him. Let me explain. In 1992, at the age of 27, Prokhorov partnered with a guy named Potanin, who runs Interos. It's a holding company. To summarize, essentially what happened was, in the early 90s, there were a lot of industries in Russia that were formerly under the communist regime.
Of course.
The entire industries are run by the government in the communist way, for the people, or, you know, seemingly for the people, however communism works. In 92, they decided a lot of these formerly state-controlled industries would be auctioned off to the private market, private industry.
Okay.
So this is where Prokhorov saw an opportunity, and him and Potanin's group bid $170 million on the rights to nickel mining in Russia.
Okay.
Not a nickel mine.
And not nickel back.
Nickel mining, the industry. And if you've ever seen
He bought the industry.
He bought the rights to mine nickel in Russia. If you've ever seen a globe or a world map, Russia's about a third of the landmass.
Odds are there's some nickel in there.
There's a lot of nickel in there.
Yeah.
So the controversy comes because they placed this $170 million bid, and a U.S. company also placed a bid for $360 million.
Now, twice as much.
Twice as much. The auctioneer said that bid was disqualified because, in fact, it was higher than what the industry was valued at. Turns out Prokhorov's bid was also higher than what the industry was valued at, but it was just a decision that, even according to Prokhorov, would not have been legal according to Western standards. But in Russia, at that time, totally legal.
Have at it.
So $170 million in 1992. He departed in 2007, 15 years later. Prokhorov's share was worth $7.5 billion.
Goodness gracious.
At that time. Some other funny Prokhorov stories. So in 2010, he tried to buy the Via Leopolda on the French Riviera.
Okay.
This is this giant estate built by King Leopold, you know, King of France in the turn of the 20th century. The price tag, 360 million pounds.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you do, you got to put a deposit down.
Yeah.
Which was only, you know, 36 million pounds.
That's it.
And Prokhorov actually got a little cold feet about it, because what happened was, dating back to a 2007 arrest when he was in the French Alps, he's having a party, Christmas party, and gets accused of flying in prostitutes to work the party.
Not a stretch to think.
Not a stretch. You know, also very season two True Detective. I know you haven't seen it yet, but...
I'm going with it.
Spoiler. Yeah, he was arrested for suspicion of arranging these prostitutes. He was held for 3 days, eventually released without charge, and he cleared all the charges. In 2011, he also ran for president of Russia.
Sweet.
Which the NBA had to check and make sure, like, he could still be an owner if he won the Russian presidency.
Oh, yeah.
But they decided, well, Herb Kohl, the owner of the Bucks, or the former owner of the Bucks, he was a senator at one point. So they figured president of Russia, state senator, it's about the same.
Yay.
You know? Yeah. Plus, they got all that money.
They have the same amount of pull in the world.
And now, the starting lineup for your Brooklyn Nets!
I know they're bringing Brook Lopez back, but who else is on this this terrible team, the remnants of a $200 million team?
So what do you do when you have a starting center who's up for a new contract, who every other year plays in 17 games or less? You sign him to a 3-year, $60 million deal.
Wow.
Brook Lopez, I think we can all agree that he is...
a really good college... he was a good college player.
Yeah, and and when he's healthy, he's a decent center. He's a center that you wouldn't be sad to have on your team. But at $20 million a year, he's never averaged more than 8.6 rebounds a game.
Wow.
And he's topped out at 20.7 points. Which is a fine amount of points. I don't know if it's $20 million a year worth of
million
points.
A point.
Right, a million points. Last year he played in 72 games and only started 44 of them and averaged 17 points, 7 rebounds. So
he really came on the last 2 months before his contract was up, though.
Yeah,
it's amazing how NBA players all of a sudden are injury-free and can summon their best performances 60 days before... you know, it could swing $50 million one way or another.
Really interesting how that works out. So they re-signed him. Their other re-signing was Thaddeus Young. Thad Young for 4 years, $50 million, which I guess Thad Young at $12 million a year in today's NBA is all right. But he has only averaged more than 15 points twice in his career. I don't know. He's not a bad player.
He's a good fifth best or fourth best player on your team.
Right. Would I say, but this is it's a total Brooklyn move. Thad Young, in my opinion, does not need to be on this team.
Yeah.
Because of any of his skill level or anything. It's just, it's a move that they don't need to make. Because, so they're, as stands, they could start Jarrett Jack or Shane Larkin at point guard. And they're going to start Bojan Bogdanovic, who has a brother...
Bogdan?
Who has a brother, Bogdan. No, this is Bojan. B-O-J-A-N.
Oh, no.
The Suns own the right to his brothers, Bogdan.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like Goran and Zoran.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bohan and Bogdan.
Right. So, Joe Johnson is still kicking around this team.
Second highest paid player in the NBA behind Kobe.
He spent most of his time being the highest paid player in the league at points.
Yep.
Way higher than LeBron. Joe Johnson, if we play the career salary game real quick, he has made, by after this season, he'll have made almost $200 million in the NBA.
Wow.
It's insane. So he's still around, and I like Joe Johnson. His numbers he only averaged 14 points last year.
You still made the All-Star team, or was that the season before?
That was the season before. Let's take out the fact he's going to make $24 million. Joe Johnson's fine. I think, again, the reason they can't get rid of him is because he's making $24 million. But I would try and get rid of him and put him on a different team, and I would probably start Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Yeah.
The draft pick.
I say that he's one of the only guys I like on this team.
Yeah, he's not the best shooter, but he can D him up.
At least we got the Lopez brothers reunited in the Big Apple.
Yeah.
Robin and Brooke.
Well,
two 7-footers with the high school cheerleaders' names.
Yeah, I mean, Knicks got so jealous of Brooke's 3-year, $60 million deal, the only thing the Knicks could do was give Robin Lopez a deal that's not as much, but just as crazy. And the Nets are just a collection of. They're not going to win. Do the Nets own the Barclays Center? Like, do they own?
Prokhorov owns like 45% of it.
Oh, so if he owns that, they get. The Barclays Center is getting all sorts of events.
Oh yeah,
They just got 3 straight days of WWE that sold out instantly.
Oh, yeah.
Like Barclays Center's making tons of money.
It was right after the Clippers deal that Prokhorov decided, you know what, might be time to sell.
Yeah.
And Clippers sold for $2 billion, and that did not include Staples Center.
Oh, that's right. If he's going to sell, he might as well sell, because this team's not getting good.
He's got to build more jet ski ramps anyways.
Record prediction.
How do you think they're going to finish? What's their record? Last year finished 38-44. Did they make the playoffs with that record?
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
God, the East sucks.
They made the playoffs and they lost to Atlanta 4-2.
Oh, right.
Weren't they up on that? Weren't they up like 2-1 or something in that series?
Yeah, yeah.
Putting Atlanta on the ropes.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah. What do you?
At no point did I think they were going to win.
Right. What do you think they're going to finish?
I got them 4 less wins than last year, which I thought was pretty generous. 34-48.
Sorry, Atlanta was leading the series the whole time. They were tied at 2-2.
Actually. Okay. So, 34-48.
Do you think that's just because of the win games, just because the East is so bad?
Yeah, now that I'm looking at it, maybe I made a mistake. But Joe Johnson gets buckets. Brooke Lopez... Until he gets injured 20 games into the season.
But that's kind of what I mean. Like, the Thad Young, Brooke Lopez, Joe Johnson, and Jarrett Jack, even though he might be one of the worst point guards in the league, like, that's enough to win games in the Eastern Conference. So you said 38-44?
That was last year. This year, I'm thinking 34-48.
Yeah. I'm going to agree. I'm going to give him 34 also.
Nice.
I don't know if that makes for compelling podcasting, but 34 seems like they could maybe even win a few more.
They could maybe make the playoffs. Yeah. 34 with the East.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
But, you know, we want to mention LBJ. How does LBJ relate to all this?
How does he fit into this?
Well, during his free agency, you know, we discussed earlier that the New York Knicks were the preordained destination for LeBron. Everyone assumed he would go to his favorite city, his professed favorite city. But another team that made a bid at him was this new ownership group of Prokhorov and Jay-Z. One of the many things that LeBron proclaimed was he wanted to be one of the first athletes to be a billionaire.
Yeah.
And part of Prokhorov's pitch, allegedly, was that he told LeBron that if he wants to be a billionaire, he would help him do that. You know, he would give him the max contract allowable by the collective bargaining agreement. But other than that, Prokhorov's a billionaire. He knows how to make money. He would show LeBron where to make his investments.
Course.
And it sounds like, you know, the way they do things over there in Russia, you can get quite a return if you know the right oligarchs.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
What's the biggest scam you've ever experienced, Matt? That's what I want to know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different scams out there, especially nowadays, whether it's a Nigerian prince emailing you or someone telling you, you know, you can work from home, stuffing letters for $5,000 a week. What about you?
You know, this isn't by any means like a big earth-shattering scam. It's just one that kind of, you know, shook me because I put my trust in someone and they let me down. I fell victim to the little kid who comes to the door and tries to sell you magazines scam.
Please do tell.
Little kid came to the door one time, told me he was selling magazines for some sort of
fundraiser.
Yeah, whatever they do.
Uh-huh.
And You know, I was like, you know, I thought to myself, you know, like, this is a lovely young child, nice person. I want to help this boy out. So I went and I bought two subscriptions to magazines.
Do you remember what those magazines were?
They were sports related in some way. Sure. I think one was Beckett Basketball Card Monthly.
Oh, wow.
Just because.
They're still publishing that.
Well, because I saw it on the list and that was my thought. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what purpose. This won't serve me any purpose currently, but I'm going to get it. So I bought two magazines, gave the kid cash, never saw the magazines ever.
Did he even ask you to fill out a card with your address anything?
Oh, yeah. No, I did. I filled out that.
That'll be $20. Yeah, they'll be here soon.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Oh, do you need my address? No, we got it. Don't worry. No,
I knocked on your door.
I know where you live, obviously.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. You didn't even get a candy bar or something.
No, I just lost money in those magazines. And I even thought about it. It wasn't like I was waiting the next month, like, oh, I'm finally gonna get the magazines. Handful of months later, way down the road, I thought to myself, oh man, I never got those magazines.
You pulled out a David Robinson card. You're like, I wonder how much this is worth.
I totally could have checked. Yeah, so it just kind of made me sad, and I don't give money to those things anymore.
That
we walk by in Los Angeles here. We walk by tons of those people who are always like, "Can you fill this out? Give to Greenpeace, blah blah blah." And I always tell them, "Like, can't, bro."
Nice try.
Yeah,
you almost got me there.
Yeah, I know.
UNICEF. Heard that one before.
Yeah, you're just gonna come to my door and not give me my magazines, aren't you? So yeah, that's that story.
Wow, that's pretty great. You know, there's just one thing that I wanted to end on as a question, especially since Jay-Z was connected. He's no longer a part owner of the Nets. He actually had to sell his very small minority share.
Oh, to be a agent.
To legally be allowed to be an agent in the NBA. Kevin Durant's one of his clients now.
He's making more money being an agent, I would imagine.
Probably so. But he is still keeping his seats, as he said in a song he dropped. There was a lot of people who were hating on him and laughing at him that he only owned like less than 1% of the team.
Yeah.
And he made a diss track, essentially, mm-hmm. for all his haters out there.
Of course.
Where he sort of pulled a LeBron after he lost the finals in 2011, where he basically the rap was, yeah, the end of the day, though, you know, I'm Jay-Z and you're just some asshole that hates me. You know? Have you met my wife?
Yeah.
But the one thing I just couldn't understand was when they moved the team to Brooklyn, they have this opportunity to completely rebrand, right? And they even had a mascot that is now defunct who was the Brooklyn Knight, a knight in shining armor. And even that, I thought any mascot at all is better than the Nets. You know, like, what the hell is the Nets as a mascot? Why not call it the Hoops or the Balls? Or the football equivalent would be the New York City Goalposts. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know, perfect opportunity. Jay-Z's, you know, supposedly marketing expert, you know, yeah. You could have called it Title, and that would have been better than the Nets.
Right.
You know? I was just very surprised by that, though, although they did have a couple of cool shirts with, like, the sneakers thrown up over the telephone wire.
Oh, yeah.
And it just said, like, Brooklyn, but it didn't say Nets. Which was probably my favorite part of the shirt. I almost bought one of those shirts, and I don't even think I've been to Brooklyn in my life.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, now when we're sitting in the birthplace of Jay-Z.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
On the next episode of Brick House.
The next team, the starting five last year played more minutes together than any starting five in the NBA. They played very well together, too. And this year, the next season, they're bringing back a total of one member of that starting five. Consequently, this team next up in the Brick House predictions, we have the biggest drop of any team in our preview coming up. So find out who that is when Brick House comes back next time.
We'll be right back.